Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We're always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about fraud. And to help me with that conversation, I have IntelliCheck CEO, Brian Lewis. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Ryan. I'm glad you're having me on.
Excellent. Now, when we're talking about fraud, can you talk to me about what is the scope and the life cycle of fraud?
Sure. You know, according to research done by Javelin Strategy and Research, they looked at it and said in 2017, there were about 16.7 million victims of identity fraud. And that was a record number on top of a record number the previous year. You know, I think they and several of the other research firms out there point out that this is not going to go away because the contributing factors that led to this number, they've not gone away. You know, if you think about it, that Equifax breach, that breach alone put 145 million of our names, social security numbers, dates of birth out there, you know, for the fraudsters to get. And they even just admitted that in addition to that, there were millions of driver's licenses numbers, phone numbers, emails also hacked. So I think that this and the countless other breaches we can talk about are going to fuel even more fraud, you know. So we know the information's out there, and then what's the life cycle? So in January of this year, Accenture put out a report titled Fraud Trends and Priority Actions. And in that, they detail the life cycle, what they found of fraud. And they say that from breach to when that information is used in fraud is between 12 and 18 months. So if you think about when that Equifax breach was, that means that data will probably become ripe for fraud right about the height of the holiday shopping season. So, and I think that normally, you know, 12 to 18 months makes sense, but given the sheer volume of the data, I think that this life cycle or this cycle will be extended. I think the criminals are going to have to look to parse the data out, you know, to keep the price of that high. You know, again, according to Javelin, for the first time, social security numbers now outpace credit card and debit card numbers as stolen personal information, right? And also, if you think about it, the first thing that Equifax did is provide everybody with a year's worth of free monitoring. So people are thinking about fraud, but the criminals are probably smart enough to let some of the attention die down and us to lower our guard so that fraud will continue.
Great. Thank you for that. I think, yeah, there were certainly a lot of great, great points made there. But one thing I kind of want to jump to now is, so what is the cost of fraud? And, you know, can you give me some real numbers behind it?
Yeah, and the numbers are truly staggering. That Javelin study put the number in 2017 at $16.8 billion. And the fraud rate doubling between 2015 and 2017. They also report that over a million children in the U.S. had their identities used to create synthetic identities to the tune of $2.6 billion in 2017. And, you know, again, those numbers only talk about the dollar amount. They don't talk about the lost hours and the productivity sorting out the issue and correcting the fraud. So I'd say the cost is very large and very much growing.
Excellent. And I'm glad that you brought up synthetic fraud there. And I think we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, would you speak to the pervasiveness of the problem in terms of the frequency of fraud?
Yeah, and I think the best way to talk about that is what we see with our clients that we have now. And we see that 0.8% of the time that we're asked to authenticate an ID before a transaction, we find that it's fraudulent. And that might seem like a small number, but when you consider the millions and millions and millions of times we are asked to authenticate an ID, it adds up very quickly. That 0.8 is actually a very, very large number. And then when you think about what it costs each and every time, we ask our clients, what does it cost you when somebody comes in and, you know, you give credit to somebody you shouldn't, or you got nailed for a card not present transaction. And it ranges from, our department store clients tell us it's typically around $2,100. But for some of our jewelry chain clients, it's over $7,000 each and every time. So when you consider the number of transactions and then these amounts per transaction, you can easily see how it becomes, you know, that $17 billion a year problem.
Yeah, certainly. So now I'm going to assume the next answer to this question is yes, but I want to get your take on it. So are consumers altering their behavior because of the surge in fraud?
Research would say so. In a report put out by Experian earlier this year, they said that 27% of customers abandon a transaction due to a lack of visible security. In addition, they asked U.S. consumers if they agreed with this statement that, I like all the security protocols when I interact online because it makes me feel protected. And 69% of U.S. consumers agreed with that statement. The American Institute of CPAs did a survey, and there 69% of consumers said they'd boycott companies that fail to protect their data. And I think, interestingly enough, 62% of the affected consumers said they blame the company rather than the fraudster. So I think, yes, consumers are aware and they are altering their behavior. So the banks and retailers not only have to worry about, you know, the actual dollar loss, there's, you know, the potential business that they're losing by not appearing to protect the consumer can be great.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And now on to probably what is one of my favorite subjects within fraud is synthetic identity fraud. So now synthetic identity fraud is considered the most significant problem in identity fraud today. So from your standpoint, what is the scope of the problem and also what's the fix?
Given the amount of data that's been breached on all of us, and then again, the changes to the way the Social Security Administration now puts out Social Security numbers, the randomization of those numbers, it is massive and it is growing. I like what Julie Conroy of ITE, she called it the perfect storm, and I would agree. She said that in 2017, credit card issuers alone were hit with $820 million in fraud but due to synthetic identity fraud. That's up 41% in 2 years. Aramia did a study on bad loans, and they concluded that synthetic identity fraud cost banks $8 billion in 2016. Earlier this year, Accenture, in that report, they also said it would cost billions for banks, synthetic identity fraud, and they couldn't even begin to estimate the number of hours it would take to fix the problem. I think you combine the data breaches, these losses, and the fact that U.S. Postal Inspector David McGinnis said in April of last year that synthetic identity fraud is becoming one of the fastest growing consumer fraud schemes, and you really do have that perfect storm.
Great. Now, before we wrap things up here, one final question. As we take a look at 2018 and beyond, what would you say you're the most excited about seeing within the payments industry?
You know, I think that there is, the attention to fraud and how we protect consumers is now becoming something that I think people didn't talk about as much as they did in the past. I think that there is a renewed attention on it. And I'm glad that we're part of that conversation because, I think that some of that conversation is leading to a whole lot of complicated solutions that in and of themselves brings out, more issues and more things we do. A lot of people are talking about biometrics. We believe in biometrics. We've got a great patent portfolio on it. But I think that there's still some issues with that. A lot of the technology people still wonder about how easy it is it to spoof? And then most importantly, who's going to secure that biometric data wherever it's stored? We think that there's a much simpler solution that could be put in place today, and that is authenticating a government ID. People are asked to show their government IDs all the time. All we need to do is validate it. That's what we're happy to be coming to market with because our clients are telling us that it is 99.9% effective at weeding out fraudsters. So I think probably the really most exciting thing is the fact that we are talking about this growing problem and collaboratively working on solutions.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you very much for talking to us today about fraud, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks. I look forward to it.